Good morning, everyone. Sometimes I think I should do the little Joe Biden run down the aisle to get up the front here. Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers here this morning and watching online today. Today we are continuing our Created in the Image sermon series. We're not pausing as we sometimes do for Mother's Day. And that's because our topic for today is male and female, so it somewhat fits the theme of Mother's Day. Just a quick recap. Week one, we saw that we are created persons. Week two, we considered what it means for us to be created in God's image. And then, as I said, today for Mother's Day, we're considering male and female, with a particular focus on that passage that Samantha just read for us in Genesis 2. So let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you teach us who you are and who we are. Today we ask that you would teach us what it means to be male and female, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's an outline in the piece of paper you got as you came in the door as well, if you find that helpful. You'll also see it on the screen. Starting with sex, gender, and confusion. Here we go. We all know that traditional views of sex and gender are under attack. Sex is now considered non-binary, and gender does not necessarily correlate with biological sex. There are multiple genders, we are told. Gender is fluid. And in more recent times, traditional treatment of gender dysphoria has given way to gender-affirming care. Again, in quotation, gender-affirming care, which is code for puberty blockers and gender reassignment surgery. As of November 22, children from the age of 12 in Australia can access gender-affirming medical treatment with consent from their parents or carers, or failing that, by seeking a court order. However, students can socially transition at school without parental consent if they are deemed a mature minor. And globally, the push is on for 12-year-olds to consent without the need for parental permission. So clearly there is an increased confusion. We see the numbers very much on the rise. Increased confusion about sex and gender, and sadly amongst the most vulnerable, amongst children and adolescents. So more than ever, we need to return to the Bible, as unpopular as that is becoming, to be reminded that we are created persons, created in the image of God, created male and female. The first thing to say about male and female is that we are very much equal. We are equally created in the image of God. So if we return to our foundational passage in Genesis 1, we read, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." So male and female are equal, both created in the image of God, both with equal worth and dignity, both with God-given responsibility to rule over creation, both with the God-given responsibility to be fruitful and increase in number. We know that man can't fulfill this command without woman, and woman can't fulfill this command without man. As this meme that I saw this week highlights, give you a moment to read that one. Thanks again to all the mums out there. Reproductive technologies have enabled many things, but there's no artificial womb. Yet. I believe they're working on it. There is a reason why Eve's name means the mother of all the living. The New Testament reminds us that without Eve, there is no Jesus. Back to Genesis 1, verse 27. Note that man is not the image of God without woman, and woman is not the image of God without man. They are in the image of God together. That's because God created us as relational beings. We are social creatures, just as God is a relational, social God. So we've seen this in previous week, but it's worth highlighting again. The us in verse 26, let us make mankind, humanity in our image, is the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in perfect relationship for all eternity. There are other aspects of being created in God's image, as we saw last week, but relationship, in particular, relationship between male and female, and in particular, the marriage relationship, reflects the image of our Creator. And so to point two, we are different. If Genesis 1 is the wide-angled lens emphasizing our equality, Genesis 2 is the zoom in on our difference. Difference 1, man is created first. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground, but streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Man is created first. Difference two, man is given the command. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, from it you will certainly die. Okay, so the command is given to Adam, the man. Difference three, woman is created as a helper for man. Verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. They're inadequate to be a helper. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Now, some bristle at the idea of woman being man's helper, but being helper is not derogatory. Repeatedly, the Bible says that God is our helper. God is called our helper 15 times of the 18 times the word helper is found in the Old Testament. In Psalm 115, all you Israelites, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. House of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. We can't exist without God, our helper. God is our help. Clearly, if God is our helper, then helper does not mean less than. Eve is helper in the context of her marriage to Adam, in the context of working and taking care of the garden, that is, in exercising dominion over the created order. Difference 4, man names woman. Verse 19, now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky and all the wild animals. So naming is a sign of authority over. Parents name their children. Parents have authority over their children. After woman is made out of man, verse 23, the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Now, we are treading on to dangerous ground here, or I am, in a culture that says equality must equal sameness. There are landmines everywhere when dealing with this topic of male and female. The feminists have no time for the nuanced position of equal but different. 100% equal in status, created in the image of God, fallen and restored in Christ, but different in many respects, biologically, relationally, functionally. Complementary is the theological term used to describe this. Male and female, female and male complement one another. This is God's good design. God's good design of male and female, men and women. If you would like to read more on this topic, a bit more in depth, I highly recommend this book written by Claire Smith, God's Good Design. There's also a helpful website. It was a bit of a go-to for me this week in preparation, Equal But Different. This website has heaps of very helpful resources, Equal But Different. And I think it's wise to have women walk you through the minefield rather than me. The Trinity. As we think about equal but different, it's helpful to remember our God in whose image we are made. God himself is equal but different. What do I mean by that? The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. Not three gods, but one God, equal. One God within relationship. Within that relationship, the Father has authority over the Son. The Spirit does the will of the Father and the Son. There's an authority structure in the relationships, even though they are equally divine. Equal, but different. That is who God is. We are created in his image. We move to our next point, fallen men and women, because sadly the fall has corrupted God's good design for men and women. In Genesis chapter 3, which we'll look at in greater detail in a couple of weeks, Eve eats the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then Adam. Adam is held responsible because the command to not eat from that tree was given to him, and the consequences flow. Notice that the consequences for men and women relate to their particular God-given responsibilities. It's already there. To the women, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labour, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So in that verse, the importance of motherhood in increasing in number and subduing the earth, and the pain of motherhood, not only in childbearing, but also in child rearing. The fall, sin, increases the pain in that responsibility. So again, this Mother's Day, we say thank you to our mothers. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. It's the battle of the sexes beginning way back then. Your desire will be for your husband is not referring to sexual desire, but rather the desire to control or master him. But he will rule over you. Not in a good way. Domineering, oppressing, misogynism. This is the fruit of the fall. Not that the fall is ever an excuse for sin. There is no excuse for men mistreating women, for husbands mistreating wives, domineering, bullying, domestic violence. Absolutely no excuse ever. The feminist goal is to overthrow this domineering rule of men, a goal that will always be frustrated in this fallen world. But Jesus has a better way, a solution. More on that in a moment. To Adam, God said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Men do not childbear. They work. Yes, they are involved in child rearing. Yes, women work. The point here is that man's primary responsibility, working and taking care of the created order, there will be great toil and frustration in it. And then death. Sounds like the world of Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? Life under the curse. Thankfully, it's not the end of the story. We'd all go home very depressed if that were the end of the story. Jesus restores humanity. He is renewing us into the image of God, into his likeness, as we saw last week. What does that mean for men and women? The restoration of equal but different. God's good design for men and women renewed. So we have equality in Christ. Jesus was countercultural when he gathered women followers. Leslie Ramsey, who writes on that Equal But Different website that I referred to, says this. Let me quote from her. In Jesus' day, women were regarded as second-class citizens, but Jesus radically overturns that view. To him, women were fellow human beings. He addressed them directly. He spoke kindly and thoughtfully to them. He chastised men for their sin of lust, which saw women as objects, not people. He allowed for divorce because of the sinfulness of men. He ministered to them, encouraged them to learn and participate in his life and ministry, and accorded them the privilege of being the first witnesses to his resurrection. In Galatians chapter 3, so in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Male and female equally children of God through faith in Christ, baptized into Christ, both experience the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion, clothed yourself with Christ, both experience the transformative power of the Holy Spirit renewing us into the image of God, the likeness of Christ, both heirs of the eternal kingdom. Think of how radical that last one is in the ancient world, especially in Jewish culture. Who was the heir in each family? Eldest son. It didn't matter how many older sisters he had, the eldest son was the heir. There was no splitting the inheritance 50-50 or by thirds or whatever it might be. The eldest son was always the heir. Christ changes that. Men and women have an equal share in God's heavenly kingdom. We take for granted that men and women have the same status. This comes from a Christian worldview. The Christian worldview has shaped the West. Equal status for men and women. Equality before the law. Equal rights. These things have not always been perfect. That's a consequence of the fall and sinful men. But Christian men and women, those restored by Christ and being renewed into his image, have worked to improve things. Things are still not perfect, but they are better here than in Iran or Pakistan. Equal but different. God's good design for men and women, trashed by sin, but renewed in Christ. Equality in Christ is a good place to finish this Mother's Day. I'll deal with the difference in an upcoming talk on Christian marriage, another countercultural topic, in a post-Christian West. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us in your image, male and female, equal but different. And we thank you that we are one in Christ, sharing the same status as your children, heirs together of your eternal kingdom. Please work in us by your Spirit to reflect your good design in our homes and in our church. Fill our homes and church with Christ-like love. Help us to show great respect and genuine care for each other as men and women, husbands and wives. Finally, Father, we pray that you would fill us with our Lord's compassion for those who have experienced the negative effects of the fall, including those who experience gender confusion. Please give us opportunities to gently minister the gospel of grace to them. In Jesus' name we pray.